And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan in studio today with my bud, David Niles.
Hey.
And this is the fifth episode of the Catholic Man Show. We're on number five.
I can't believe it.
This is awesome. And we have a great show for you today.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool announcements. We're giving away something else once again.
I love it when we get to give stuff away.
Yeah, absolutely. And it benefits everybody.
You know what? We're really just making dreams come true.
One gift at a time.
We might already be somewhere over a rainbow.
Oh, I don't know about that. So
seriously, though, we do have something sweet to give away.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yes.
We need to give out the warning. Let's start it off right.
Indeed. If you can hear the sound of my voice right now, and you are someone who is highly susceptible to high levels of manliness, you need to stop what you're doing and turn off this radio show because this will be harmful to your health. And I'm not kidding.
Don't laugh.
You could be permanently impaired. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants
serious.
That. I mean, if you're susceptible to high levels of manliness, you're probably pretty much impaired already. And like, we don't want to destroy what little functioning you have left going on.
I mean, just the intro, our music intro.
Probably shook you to your core.
Yes.
And that's enough. It's enough manhood for you. So turn it off if you're susceptible, because we're going to be laying it down pretty thick. We're going to be doing some evangelizing today,
if you know
what I'm saying.
Yes, we are. So that's knocked out.
That being said, be warned.
So, Dave.
Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Have you been on the internet lately?
Has anybody been on the internet lately?
Been on the internets.
The interwebs.
It's a series of pipes and tubes.
I have, actually. And
found anything new?
I have. Our website.
Tell me about it.
Our website. StMichaelRadio.com.
.com.
It is now renewed and revised.
It's been baptized.
It's been baptized. And it is awesome.
It's so awesome.
Dude, our buddies over at Blueprint Advertising, Chris Porter, Brian Dean, Michael Camp, those guys are awesome.
Blueprint Advertising, yeah. There's like a little magic trick that happens when you scroll down with the background image. It's like, now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah, it's super cool because it highlights our shows. It's
easier to use.
Easier to use, very user-friendly. You can download our app from there.
Yeah.
It showcases all of our blogs a lot cleaner than our old one.
And a little nerd stuff. It's really, it conforms to mobile versions really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, when you run the website, you just really geek out about. If you don't run the website, you really don't care.
But I mean, I thought our website originally was really awesome.
It was.
And until I saw this one, and then it's like, oh, this one is way better.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been on there recently, you can stream live. You can stream our radio station live. You can download all of our podcasts. We now have a podcast for St. Michael, or for the Catholic Man Show.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving up in the world.
God, we are so big time.
Yeah.
In fact, seriously, we really are moving up in the world. Out of nowhere, we got an email from Breadbox Media, which, if you don't know who they are, they're like an internet Catholic radio that is really
catching on,
taking the country by storm. Our buddy Timothy Putnam, who hosts Outside the Walls here on this network, he is also working with Breadbox Media. They're really a growing network because they're kind of an alternative show format. You know, it's not just the standard average show,
which is maybe
which is nice. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because
you guys are weird. We want to have you.
Yeah.
No, but check out Breadbox Media. You can find our page there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so our podcast will actually go on to Breadbox Media now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now within the Breadbox Media family.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about it. That's pretty cool because
it is.
It's like you said, it's an internet Catholic radio station, and it airs like all over the nation. I mean,
all over the world.
Yeah, I mean,
anywhere you would get the series of paps and tubes.
I think that it's based in Kentucky, but you know, there's people all over the nation that have radio shows on there that are hosts.
Yeah.
So I think that it has
good Catholic people.
Yeah. So that's really exciting.
It's very exciting,
especially for our fifth episode.
And I heard a rumor that we may be someday in the future, at some undisclosed time, on the Ave Maria network too. I mean, it's possible.
There's a possibility.
It depends really on how much the listeners pray for us.
Yeah. So it's on you guys.
And I don't know if you guys know Adam, but let me tell you, he needs some prayer.
Like, Always.
You just don't even realize.
Yeah, I mean, I have David as my best friend.
I mean, like, he's got...
Struggling.
Things he's got to struggle with. Pray for him.
Yes, please do. Always. Oh. So, if this is your first episode of listening to The Catholic Man Show, Dave, give our listeners, maybe our new listeners, we're picking up new listeners.
Every day. We got listeners on both coasts. Coast to coast.
Yeah. So, tell them a little bit about The Catholic Man Show. If they're still listening from the moment we started till now, give them a brief rundown.
Yeah, and like, think about how much chest hair they must have by now. I mean, it's probably outstanding.
There's also females that listen to our show. In fact...
Well, I hope they're not growing chest hair.
I know.
Women, if you're growing chest hair, stop listening!
In fact, it's actually kind of surprising. I've had a lot of feedback from women.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well,
women are attracted to high levels of manliness.
That's true.
It only makes sense. They flock to our show. But every episode we do a few things. The first thing we do, which we are going to do imminently, is open a manly beverage on air.
Mm-hmm.
We drink manly beverages. So far, it's all been whiskey, but we've got other things in the pike.
Yeah.
I sense beers upcoming.
Absolutely.
Maybe even a mixed beverage of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But
possibilities are endless.
Yeah, so we drink beverages of quality, mm-hmm. not simply to drink. We're not drinking to drink. We're drinking to enjoy the finer things in life. Mm-hmm. A man should have hobbies.
Yes.
He should have a way that he enjoys relaxing, you know, a leisure.
Mm-hmm. A way to decompress.
Right, and not just something that, I'm relaxing, but something that orients his senses to the finer things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, you and I, we both like whiskey. So right. We've been drinking a lot on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not like we've been drinking a lot of whiskey, but on the show we've had whiskeys. So that's the first thing we do,
mm-hmm.
manly beverage. The second thing is we discuss some man gear.
Yes, could be man gear, not man item. Do not refer to it as a man item.
No, because that's a stupid name. Who would ever think of that? Which was our name for the man gear until the last episode. Thank you, Juan Posada and Andrew DeJoseph,
yes.
for your recommendations. So we discussed the man gear. And then we have a topic, because the man gear is something that displays one of the virtues of manhood,
mm-hmm.
which are many. And we kind of expand that virtue throughout the rest of the show with just a topic of...
That we unpack.
Yeah, of the highest quality and caliber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like we said, this is a new show for us. Dave and I have been best friends since kindergarten. And we started this Catholic radio station, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And we finally decided to pull the trigger and have a show.
So,
We're really grateful for you guys to... be listening.
Let's open this bottle.
I want to try.
I mean, I've had it before, but
hold on. The last episode, we had a hashtag cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. And let me tell you, you guys never fail us. Like, you guys started using hashtag cheers
to Jesus.
Yeah,
we started getting emails with cheers to Jesus in it.
Yes.
And it's like, seriously, why has nobody... This seems like an obvious thing.
So
when
we
cheers, why not to Jesus?
Right. So this is a new hashtag for us that we're going to start using. We have two hashtags for this show. One, TCMS.
The Catholic Man Show.
And cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. Well, let's pour some of this so we can cheers to Jesus.
Perfect.
Tell him what it is. Okay. Adam, tell him what it is.
It is a Scotch whiskey. I think it's kind of funny that it has the at the front.
Yeah. Do Scotch whiskeys come from Ireland?
Scotland.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scotland. Yeah. So
some things in life just make sense.
The
Glenlivet.
I think it's pretty cool that they use
the Glenlivet.
The Glenlivet. Like they don't say the Glenlivet. It's the Glenlivet.
Yeah.
It's a 12-year, and that's what we're that's our man beverage for this episode.
I got to tell you, when I was 12 years old, I was not this refined.
I was not either.
No.
I was close, but I was not.
Whatever.
So, Dave, pour me a glass.
Okay, hang on.
There we go.
Boom.
And just so you guys know, our show is recorded at our studio is my at my house, and Dave lives about a pitching wedge away from me, and so there's no driving.
A strong pitching wedge
away from me, so there's no driving.
With the wind, maybe an average pitching wedge.
Yeah. So we don't advocate drinking and driving. We don't advocate drinking if one of your vices is alcohol.
Just for the record, we don't advocate any sin. Okay,
no.
Like, so if it's a sin, we don't advocate it.
Right. Period.
We disadvocate it.
Okay.
I was really unsure how to put the emphasis there.
So.
But cheers to Jesus.
At this point, we're gonna cheers to Jesus.
Mm.
So. What are your thoughts, Dave?
This is just such a classic batch of whiskey. It's always good. It's not like overly complex, but it's just so solid.
Mm-hmm.
Very smooth, ever so drinkable. For the new whiskey
easy
connoisseur, this is a great one to go to. It's not too expensive.
No.
Should be $40 to $50 range.
Whiskey business hooks us up with our whiskeys.
Yeah. They sell it to us for cost, mm-hmm.
So go see them.
Yeah.
Just brief tasting notes, because that's what we do every show. Whenever we have our man beverage, we unpack the tasting notes. On the nose, it's creamy vanilla, honey, pineapple, and pressed apples with a little cinnamon. On the palate, apple cores, fresh and fruity trifle, and creamy citrus.
Mm.
And the finish is a delicious almonds and apples. So do you taste the apples, Dave?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean.
I think so.
I think it's like one of those things, like you can tell us, you insert a word and it's like.
Yeah, it's like the power of suggestion.
Right.
Like, you know, I get a little nutmeg.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do pick
I
up
do
the
nutmeg. That.
Yeah, no kidding. Nutmeg. Yeah. Yeah.
But moral of the story is, I enjoy a scotch that has a little bit of vanilla to it. For some reason, vanilla is...
Yeah, vanilla is one of my favorite flavors.
Yeah.
This is one of those bottles of whiskey that is good to have in your house, because if someone comes over, and this is the kind of whiskey you could offer to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Except someone who wants to put Coke in it. Don't.
Do not do that.
Don't. If you come to my house, and I give you a bottle of whiskey, some whiskey... Do not ask me for Coke. I'll be so mad.
We drink it neat.
I will take your whiskey back. And okay. I'll say, come back in 1 year. No whiskey for you.
Okay, so we're running late on our first break.
Yeah, we are.
So,
too many shenanigans.
Yes. So, let's regroup.
Okay.
We'll take a break.
Enjoy these commercials.
And we'll come back and unpack a little bit of our man
gear. The man gear, yeah.
And a little bit of our man topic.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
We'll be right back.
So raise your glass.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Cheers to Jesus. Cheers to Jesus. Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. That sounded like Matt Frad, the Catholic apologist.
I hope I didn't just insult all Aussie people all over the world, but hey.
I'm pretty sure we don't have any listeners. So I'm pretty sure you're clear.
But we'd take them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'd
absolutely.
Take them if we could get them, let me tell you. Okay. But seriously, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial break. Those commercials are handcrafted just for you. I want to talk about what we're going to be giving away at the end of this episode. This is so sweet. Like, when I found out this is a thing, I just couldn't believe it. You know,
it was like, this is a...
Why haven't I had one of these?
Yeah, and it's like, this is a Catholic Man Show must.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. So men, start salivating. You're going to want this.
Mm-hmm.
I hold in my hands a book. And I know what you're thinking.
Oh, no, it's a book.
Books, right? But hang on a second.
Yeah. Stay with us.
This book is called Drinking with the Saints, A Sinner's Guide to a Happy Holy Hour by Michael P. Foley. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me tell you something. This book has it all, okay? It's got it. It has the whole year broken down of who's the saint of the day today. And what is this saint's either favorite drink, if they know what his favorite drink is, or what is just a good drink that goes along with this saint's life. You know, this saint was kind of this way. This would be a good drink for this saint. Mm-hmm. And if that's not enough, it also has the whole year broken down based on liturgical season.
Yes.
I mean,
it even has Lent. So
yeah. It's got recommended beverages for Lent. It's awesome. And this book was largely contributed to by our own Father Grant.
Yes, Father John Grant.
Of the Cathedral.
Holy Family Cathedral. Associate pastor at Holy Family.
Yeah.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He's the one who basically supplied most of the drink ideas,
right?
From what I understand.
Because when he was in seminary in Denver, they got together.
The and did a project. It was like they like started a club about drinking with the saints.
Right.
And so when he found this book, he wrote to Michael P. Foley and was like, hey, we did a lot of this. Here's our stuff. And Michael P. Foley was like,
thanks,
bro, you're the best.
Yeah.
You know? And so it actually talks about Father John Grant in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be giving this book away.
Courtesy of
Father John Grant. He gave it to us.
Yeah.
To give away to you. So, you better listen to the end of the episode when we tell you what it is you need to do to win this book. Because it is sweet.
It is. And like, just the feel of it is sweet. It's
it is.
It's not like a normal book. I mean,
let me tell you, it is so appropriately sized.
Yes. It is.
It's the right size for what you'd want this book to be.
If you want, you know, new, you know, drink ideas, while...
You said new drink ideas.
New drink ideas.
Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
I thought you said nude drink ideas.
No.
And I just wanted to make sure.
No, new.
New drink ideas.
Yeah, new ones. Like, you know, like this one, I just opened it up. The Inca cocktail. You know, gin, sherry, vermouth, almond syrup.
We have our own copy of this book here at the Catholic Man Show, and we're going to be doing a beverage from this book in an upcoming episode. It's inevitable.
It's just a really cool book, and we're really excited to give it away to our listeners.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Father John Grant.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Father John.
Yes.
And that brings us to the man gear.
The man gear
of the week. And the man gear of the week is the Bible, because every man, it's not just the Bible, it's your Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
As a man, you need your Bible.
Right. You need to have, like, Father Larry Richard says, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed.
And I'm hungry and tired every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But on a serious note, like, as a man, you better read the Bible. Like, this is God's word. You better read it, okay? And I'm not going to say you have to read it every day. You should. That's great. If you can do that, you should do it.
You need to.
But once a week, you need to find some time. I'm not telling you how much time, but you need to find some time to read the Bible, okay? And it needs to be meaningful, not just like, okay, I read it. You need to be reading with an attitude of, what can I learn from this, from these verses today? However many verses you have time for. And mass quantity, you know, sitting down and reading, oh, I read the whole Gospel of Luke. That's great, but I'm not sure you get as much out of it. Like, focus on one chapter maybe and really dive in. Like, you don't have to be a scholar. Adam, I think you're familiar with Lectio Divina.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're not familiar with it, basically you just read a passage, like maybe the upcoming gospel reading. Read it. Stop.
Stop.
Stop. Pause. Let it sink in.
And then
wait some more.
Oh, yeah.
Read it again.
I forget about the wait some more.
Yeah.
I forget the pause, then wait some more.
Pause.
And then reread it.
Right. Read it again. So then you read it three times. Each time with a deep pause, really thinking about what it says. How is it speaking to you? That's Lectio Divina. It's a great way to read the Bible. You don't have to do that. There's tons of ways you can read. You can read it chronologically. You can read it.
I don't advise that. To read it chronologically, but you can.
Yeah, but you can also read it from like the order in which they were written. Mm-hmm. There's people have different recommended, like, oh, you should read these because these help you get the groundwork, and then move on to these because these are more about the stuff on the outside. You know, just whatever.
Right.
Just pick some.
But you just need to have your Bible.
Right, and you need to write in it.
Yeah, it needs to be useful. It needs to be like, you know, your go-to. Like, for instance, this Bible that I have is actually by Father Larry Richard, like, does the introduction and some instruction within the Bible.
Hey, let's cheers to Father Larry Richards.
Who is phenomenal priest.
What a man.
Yes. He does open line forums on, I think, like Tuesday with EWTN.
Yeah.
He's a priest up in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this introduction and instruction by Father Larry Richards. This Bible is called the Catholic Men's Bible, which is like, boom.
I wonder why we brought it up on the Catholic Man Show.
Exactly.
That's weird.
And what he does is he has 88 like short meditations within the scriptures of each Old and New Testament. So it gives you kind of an idea of how to pull scripture from a man's perspective,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and how to live that on a day to day.
Yeah.
And it's just a sweet book. I mean, it's just a sweet Bible. It's a sweet compilation.
So you can get that at your local Catholic bookstore.
Yeah,
or online.
Jim Bryan has it.
Just give the name out one more time. Amazon will have it.
It's called Catholic Men's Bible.
Father Larry Richards.
Father Larry Richards. It's by our Sunday Visitor.
Okay. So there you go. It's the NAB, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. The NAB.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a sweet, I mean, just for example, it's enlighten and assume that the topics like the most important question, the key to manhood, God has a plan for your life, just do it. Like all these different like topics, like in relation to men.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an awesome book.
St. John Paul II, when he was delivering his Theology of the Body, he said the most important question a man can ask himself is, what does it mean to be a man? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's different. Yeah. It's a different question for women. What does it mean to be a woman? That's not our question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important question because the answers are different.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
the thing. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the Bible when we come back from the break. We're going to take an early break. We're going to talk a little bit about where did the Bible come from?
Mm-hmm.
When was it finalized? We're going to kind of brief history of the Bible on the other side of the break.
Yes.
So hang with us. Enjoy these commercials. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We will be right back.
Scotch, very, very fine.
It's fabulous. It's just a staple. It's a Scotch staple, really. Yeah.
We really have started, like, covering the staples of whiskey.
In fact, I'll bet you Tim Staples drinks this whiskey.
I couldn't.
I'll bet you 20 cents right now.
Nah.
Right here, right now.
Pass.
It's because you know I'm right. You're scared. You are scared.
So our man gear of the week is the Bible, and not like the not just the Bible, but your specific Bible that needs to be used and allocated exactly how you need it to be, like with tabs written in it, like a nice.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk
Bible.
About tabs. You should totally tab your Bible.
Yes.
Also, it's a great thing to do while like watching basketball, like watch a basketball game and put tabs on your Bible.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it goes great
because there's always been that
activities.
Time. Yeah, there's always been that time where you have people like challenging you and you're like, oh, I know this is in scripture and I just can't remember where.
Yeah, like that one time where you're like, no, this is in 2 Peter chapter 3, and then it takes you 4 minutes to find 2 Peter and you just look dumb.
Right.
Because you can't even find that book.
But if you're men and you're, you know, and you have children, you should do like what my dad did and make us all memorize the books of the Bible.
Yeah. Can you still? You can't probably do it anymore.
I'm pretty, like, I have a couple of hang-ups, but overall, I can definitely do the all of the New
when
Testament.
When you're in kindergarten, you could whip off every book in the New Testament.
All 73.
Easy peasy.
Not 66, but 73.
Right.
So anyway, Dave, tell us a little bit about where the origins of the Bible came from.
Well, I would say God.
That's a good... Okay. Case closed. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, so that's what you need to know, I guess. No, but seriously, the books in the Bible, this is like a big question Protestants need to ask themselves, I think, because why are these the books that are in the Bible? You know, why not other books? There was a lot of other books that were written. Why didn't they make it in?
Right.
And, you know, because Protestants, they have this problem with authority, whether they know it or not. They might not realize it, but they have a big issue when it comes to authority. Where does authority rest? If it rests in the Bible, how do we know it rests in the Bible? The Bible doesn't say so, you know.
How do we know that the books are in there, that are supposed to be in there?
Yeah, I mean,
there's no inspired table of contents.
Right. In fact, according to the Bible, Jesus said and did many other things that are not recorded here, but these are written that you may
believe.
Have faith and believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, how do we know those other things weren't important? You know?
Right.
So really it comes back to the church gave us the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it formally declared the canon of scripture at the Council of Trent in the 1500s. And the reason it did that was because Martin Luther started throwing books out of the Bible.
That's right. His first Bible that he translated into German actually had all 73 in there. You can actually go back and look. I think it's in London
it's in London.
Yeah, where you can go and look at that Bible.
The original King James
mm-hmm.
had all 73 books.
But he started throwing out not only books of the Old Testament, but also books of the New Testament, which isn't like people don't know that. Like he started throwing out books
He started hacking up the Bible like a butcher. I mean, he was just like chop, 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 chop,
right,
chop, 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 chop,
Jude, Revelation.
He wanted to take out James. He wanted to take out Second Peter.
Yeah,
I mean, and these are the New Testament books.
Right.
He also took out seven of the Old Testament books.
Right.
And the reason, I mean, not being offensive here, but the reason is because those books conflicted with his own personal theology.
Right.
So this is another problem with authority is that, well, the Protestant idea of their books, it's like, well, you know, Martin Luther, he was taking on the authority all himself. The church had said, these are the books. And so because he started doing this, even though the canon had been decided for over 1,000 years, they had to come out and say, no, fine, we'll formally declare that what was decided at these other councils is what the Bible is, and
right.
it's not anything else.
Because the church always does that with councils. They only like definitively define it when things have been questioned or heresies arise or there's
yeah.
been issues.
Exactly. So the question is, when was the list of 73 books, the 73 books that we have, when was that decided that these are the 73 books? It's kind of hard to say a specific year, but during the Council of Nicaea, this was culturally an issue that was being discussed. A lot of the fathers were writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the church fathers had proposed books that didn't make it in.
Right.
You know,
Saint Clement,
in general, they were all pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of them also suggested other books, like The Shepherd of Hermes
mm-hmm.
was a debatable book. Some people thought it should be in there. Some people thought it shouldn't. However, St. Athanasius, in the year 367, this is 367,
yeah.
okay? So the Council of Nicaea was 325. There's debate on whether they talked about it or not. It doesn't appear in any of the formal documents, but St. Jerome indicates that they may have discussed the topic. However, in 367, St. Athanasius issued a letter in which he listed what the canon would be, and his list is the exact 73 books that we have today as Catholics. We
mm-hmm.
still have today. And he was the first one to use the word canonized. He used the first one to say these books have been canonized. Later, St. Augustine and Pope Damasus both confirmed his list. They also put out a list themselves. It was the same 73.
Mm-hmm.
And those were at the end of the 4th century. So, you know, less than about 30 years later, these saints, and one of whom is a pope,
mm-hmm.
the other was a bishop, they were supporting these same books. So And St. Augustine, when he came out and supported it, he said, he made comments to the effect of, this list has already been decided. I'm not the one deciding it. We already know that these are the books.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in the 300s. In the year 15, in the early 1500s, you know, 1200 years later, Luther starts throwing out books because they don't align with his new theology, which is really heretical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luther was a heretic. And I'm not calling Protestants heretics,
mm-hmm.
but you know, Luther, he was a troubled dude.
Mm-hmm.
He was very troubled.
No doubt.
Yeah. And so these books didn't align with the way he thought the religion should be, and so he had no choice but to take them out.
Mm-hmm. And this, the First Vatican Council in 1870 reaffirmed all of this, like, said, like, beyond a doubt,
yeah,
this is it, like, no more discussion, no more debate about it.
Yeah, they came out and formalized, like, what the Council of Trent had legitimized.
Put a period on it.
Yeah, and said, boom.
Yeah.
Like, I'll bet they did the period hard. I bet they went, boom, period.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah. No more discussion.
Yeah.
So,
if you have questions about that, let us know.
Yeah. We'd love to have a
post it on our Facebook.
Yeah. Look up The Catholic Man Show. Or our Twitter, @Catholic Man Show.
Tweet at us, yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Instagram. We also have an Instagram page.
We do it all, pretty much.
Yeah, for the most part. So, let us know.
And we will get back with you.
Yeah. We need to take an early break because we have a jam-packed final segment.
We've got to give a book away.
Yeah, we have to give a book away. And we also need to talk about the Mass in Scripture.
Yeah, that's right. People say, oh, I go to a Bible church now.
Mm-hmm.
No, you left the Bible church.
Right. The Catholic Church is
Bible church. You cannot get more Bible than going to Mass on Sunday.
And we're about to prove it to you.
And
so
you might
not
know this. You may have been a Catholic you might be 90 years old and you've never heard this stuff. So hang in there. This is going to be sweet.
Yeah. So we're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Right before the break, we were just talking about the Bible and Catholics being a biblical faith. We are the biblical faith. We have more Bible every Sunday than any other denomination. I guarantee it. And you might not know that, you might not believe it, but you will here in just a minute. So here's the deal. This is kind of where this all stems from.
Here's the 411.
Yeah. A couple years back, I won't say how many.
Thank goodness, because I'm 30 now.
Let me tell you something. By the time you hear this, Adam has already... No, Adam, you turned 30 today.
Yeah.
The Thursday that this is airing, you turned 30.
Yeah.
Old man.
Oh, man. I know.
Yeah, you are old.
I'm getting old. But it happens.
You don't even look good. I mean, you just...
Well, I never did to begin with.
You're old. Anyway, we digress. Promo. So anyway, what we are about to do is go through line by line. Here's mm-hmm. the Mass, and here's what all comes from.
Yeah, we
prepare to be blown away.
Yeah, we did this with the RCIA group, and...
Buckle up!
And we were like, hey, that actually was pretty crazy that... This all worked out, and there's so much of the Mass in the Bible.
I mean, it really surprised me.
Now, not all of it is exactly word for word, but you can... The roots on it are so strong that it's...
Yeah, and we'll post this on the blog for this episode, so check out our Facebook page. And what you can do is you can see, okay, well, that's the verse that it comes from. And maybe it's not word for word, but it's the gist. That's the gist of what this is saying, and it's like... It's pretty obvious. Sometimes you have to read... two or three verses. I'm not going to name all the verses here, but like I said, we'll post it on Facebook. You can check it out. And when you read this verse and this verse, it's like, oh yeah. Okay. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
So where is the Mass in Scripture? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hold on.
So you said I'm ready and then you said, hold on.
I know. I meant the people.
Okay.
The listeners.
Buckle up.
Yeah. Listeners, hold on to your seats.
Okay. So the introductory rite, the priest says, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Matthew 28, verse 19.
We all respond, Amen.
1 Chronicles 16, verse 36.
And the priest says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
2 Corinthians 13, verse 13.
Or you may say, the Lord be with you.
Which is 2 Timothy 4, verse 22.
And we all respond, and with your spirit.
Galatians 6, verse 18.
And the priest says, let us acknowledge our sins and prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
Which comes from Psalm 51, verse 5.
We all say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned.
James 5, verse 16.
In my thoughts and in my words.
Romans 12, verse 16.
And what I have done and what I have failed to do.
James 4, verse 17.
And I've asked the Blessed Mary.
Luke 1, verse 48.
Ever Virgin.
Isaiah 7, verse 14.
All the angels and saints.
Revelation 8, 3 through 4.
And to my brothers and sisters to pray for me to the Lord our God.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25.
Then the priest says, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us of our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
1 John 1, verse 9.
And we all say, Amen.
1 Chronicles 16, verse 36.
Then the priest says, and we all repeat, Lord, have mercy.
Matthew 15, verse 22.
Christ, have mercy.
1 Timothy 1, verse 2.
Lord, have mercy.
Matthew 15, verse 22.
Then the Gloria, and the priest starts, and we all follow. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill.
Luke 2, verse 14.
We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you.
Which comes from Psalm 148, verse 13.
We give you thanks.
Ephesians 5, verse 20.
For your great glory.
Revelation 7, verse 12.
Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father.
Revelation 19, verse 6.
Lord Jesus Christ, Only Begotten Son.
2 John, verse 3.
Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us.
John 1, verse 29.
You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us.
Romans 8, verse 34.
For you alone are the Holy One.
Luke 4, verse 34.
You alone are the Lord.
Revelation 15, verse 4.
You alone are the Most High Jesus Christ.
Luke 1, verse 32.
With the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father.
John 14, verse 26.
We'll respond, Amen.
Which is a bunch of times.
Then, the Liturgy of the Word, we all have the first reading.
Which comes from the Bible.
That actually comes from the Bible.
The first reading, I assure you, is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And
you know why? Because we read it from the Bible.
Right, first reading. And
it's fascinating.
At the end of that first reading, we say, the word of the Lord.
Which comes from 1 Peter 1, verse 25.
And we all respond, thanks be to God.
Which is Romans 6, verse 17.
After the first reading, then we do the psalm.
That also is in the Bible, bro.
Where?
It's in Psalms.
And then we go on to the second reading.
It's from the Bible.
At the end of the second reading, we say, the word of the Lord.
1 Peter 1, verse 25.
And we all respond, thanks be to God.
Romans 6, verse 17.
Then, mind blown, we can do a gospel.
The gospels are in the Bible.
New Testament.
New Testament, not the Old Testament.
First four books.
The first four?
First four.
I did not know that.
Yep. And then,
I did know that. I knew that.
Yeah, he knew that. And then we all say,
So a reading from the Holy Gospel.
According to so-and-so. And then we say, the priest or deacon says, the Gospel of the Lord. And
which
we all respond.
Oh. Comes from Romans 16, verse 25.
And they all respond, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Psalm 86, verse 12.
Then the priest or deacon gives a homily challenging the congregation to live their lives by Scripture we just read.
So he gives a homily about the Bible.
About the Bible.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know, man. Then we
They
go
talk
on.
About the Bible at Mass?
Hold on. Buckle up. Next.
Hold on to your seats.
Yeah. Profession of faith. The priest starts and the congregation joins in. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth.
Genesis 14, verse 19.
Of all things visible and invisible.
Colossians 1, verse 16.
I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, Only Begotten Son.
Luke 1, verse 35.
Born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father.
Which comes from Hebrews 1, verse 3.
Through him all things were made.
John 1, 2 through 3.
For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven.
John 3, verse 13.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary.
Matthew 1, verse 18.
And became man.
John 1, verse 14.
For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
John 19, verse 16.
He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4.
He ascended into heaven.
Luke 24, verse 51.
And is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Colossians 3, verse 1.
He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead.
2 Timothy 4, verse 1.
And his kingdom will have no end.
Luke 1, verse 33.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life.
Comes from Acts 2, verse 17.
Who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
John 14, verse 16.
Who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, he has spoken to the prophets.
1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11.
I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Comes from Romans 12, verse 5.
I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
Acts 2, verse 38.
And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Romans 6, verse 5.
We all say,
Amen.
Then, We have the general
everywhere in the Bible.
Everywhere. Then we say the general intercessions, which is the prayers of the church and the congregation. The reader ends each prayer with, "We pray to the Lord."
Which comes from Exodus 10, verses 17 and 18. From Jeremiah and the book of Acts in places.
And we all respond, "Lord, hear our prayer."
Comes from 2 Kings 20, verses 2 through 5.
Liturgy of the word ended. Boom. Now on to the liturgy of the Eucharist.
So far, we're pretty well covered biblically.
Yeah. Yes.
I think.
Yes, I would say, like, just blanketed.
Yeah. So, catch your breath.
Yeah.
Here we go. Into the liturgy of the Eucharist.
The preparation of the gifts. The gifts are brought down to the altar. The gifts include the bread and wine and the offering collected in the congregation.
It's funny. You'll find something very similar in Malachi 3, verse 10.
Then the priest says, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made."
Comes from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10.
It'll become our bread of life.
John 6, verse 35.
And we say, "Blessed be God forever."
Psalm 66, verse 20.
Then the priest says, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. Through your goodness you have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It'll become our spiritual drink."
Comes from Luke 22, verses 17 and 18.
And we'll respond, "Blessed be God forever."
Psalm 66, verse 20.
And the priest says, "Pray, brethren, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father."
Hebrews 12, verse 28.
And we all say, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at our hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our sake and for the good of all his holy church."
Comes from Psalm 50, verse 23.
And the priest says, "The Lord be with you."
Zephaniah 3, 17.
And we all respond, "And with your spirit." And then the priest says, "We lift up our hearts." And we all respond, "We lift them up to the Lord."
Which that you will find from Lamentations 3, verse 41.
And the priest says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God."
Colossians 3, verse 17.
And we all respond, "It is right and just."
Colossians 1, verse 3.
Then we all say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory."
Isaiah 6, verse 3.
"Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Mark 11, 9 through 10.
Then we do the Eucharistic prayer, which there are four different Eucharistic prayers based on the ancient prayers of the church. One of the most common is the Eucharistic prayer number 2, which we'll be using in this example, where the priest says, "You are holy indeed, O Lord, fountain of all holiness."
2 Maccabees 14, verse 36.
"Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed, he entered willingly into his passion."
John 10, verses 17 and 18.
"He took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you.'"
There's a combination of Mark 14, verse 22, Matthew 26, verse 26, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24.
And we all respond, or he says, "Do this in memory of me."
Luke 22, verses 19.
Then the priest says, "In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins.'"
Which is a combination of Mark 14, verse 24, Matthew 26, verses 27b through 28, Luke 22, 17, and 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25.
And he says, "Do this in memory of me."
Luke 22, verse 19.
Then the priest says, "Let us proclaim the mystery of faith." And we all respond, "When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again."
First Corinthians 11, verse 26.
And the priest says, "Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation."
John 6, verse 51.
"Giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you, humbly we pray that partaking of this body and blood of Christ, we may gather into one by the Holy Spirit."
1 Corinthians 10, verses 17.
"Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, bring her into the fullness of charity together with our Pope and our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face."
2 Maccabees chapter 12, verses 45 through 46.
"Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the apostles and with all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit and be co-heirs of eternal life, and may praise and glory you through your Son, Jesus Christ."
2 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 through 5.
"Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever." And we all respond,
"Amen." Which is Romans 11, verse 36.
Then the communion rite, where we all say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13.
Then the priest says, "Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may always be free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ."
John 17, verse 15.
We all say, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Funny as it is, this is not in the Bible.
Then the priest says, Lord Jesus Christ, I said to you, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you.
John 14, verse 27.
Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us peace in the unity of the kingdom where you live forever and ever. Amen. Then the priest says, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
John 20, verse 19.
And we all respond, and with your spirit. Then the priest then directs the people to exchange the sign of peace.
See St. Paul.
And then the breaking of the bread, where we all say, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
Revelation 5, 6 through 13.
Then communion, where the priest says, Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
Comes from John 1, verse 29.
And we all say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter upon my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Matthew 8, verse 8.
Then the communion is distributed to the faithful at the altar by the priest and the lay ministers. Then the final blessing and the dismissal, where the priest says, May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Luke 24, verse 51.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
2 Chronicles 35, verse 3.
And we all respond, Thanks be to God.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 15.
So if you're sitting there saying that there's nowhere in the Bible where there's Mass.
There's no Mass in the Bible.
Then
you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a book to give away. We are running short on time.
Okay.
Adam, tell them how you win.
So in order to win, there's two things you can do. You have two chances. One, like our Facebook page, The Catholic Man Show. If you already like our Facebook page, you can share our Facebook page with hashtag Cheers to Jesus, and it gives you two chances to win.
Right.
If you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, like it and share it. Gives you two chances to win. 24 hours, Friday.
From this moment. 24 hours from this moment.
Friday, 8 p.m., we will give away the book, Drinking with the Saints.
We will look at everybody who has liked our page and everyone who has shared our page, hashtag Cheers to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we will give this book away to one of you.
And it is an awesome book.
So if you pray hard, it could be you.
Yes. Don't forget, hashtag Cheers to Jesus. This has been The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We've had an awesome time.
Fast hour.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We've had the Glenlivet 12-year.
The Glenlivet.
The Glenlivet 12-year Scotch whiskey.
Delicioso.
The Bible. Your Bible.
Delicioso.
And then the Mass in the Bible.
Delicioso.
We are on the Lord's team,
the winning side, so raise your glass. Cheers.
I'm Adam Minahan.
I'm David Niles. I'll see you next week.